Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now so you can join the broadcast, so you can pose your questions, seek direction for the real-life issues you face. If there's something you need to talk about, let's talk about it right now at 800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. It's Basic Gospel, and we're here to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Who are you? Are you a parent, a CEO, a student, a doctor? Are you an alcoholic, a drug abuser, a sex addict? These are all labels
stuff,
that we wear out there in the world, and some of them are good labels, some of them are bad labels, but they usually relate to what we're doing in life. Whether it's a business occupation, whether it's a particular sin, something that we're struggling with, that's how we identify ourselves. And you go into a party or go into a gathering of people, you walk up and introduce yourself, hi, I'm so-and-so, and they introduce themselves, and then they ask the question, well, you know, what do you do? And you say, I am a this.
Right.
I mean, that's your identity. Well, he asks what you do, but you identify yourself by what you do. That's kind of the world system. But God sees two identities. You're either a sinner, lost, dead spiritually, or you're a saint, a child of God, alive spiritually. Those are the two identifications that really matter, because those are the identifications based on truth. And if we're going to experience freedom, we have to start with truth. And why is this so important to talk about our identity in Christ? I mean, there's so many Christians out there who say, yeah, I'm a child of God. There's a lot of non-Christians that would say, yes, I'm a child of God. That's just kind of a normal thing. But it's very significant to say that, because understanding that truth is the pathway to freedom from so many trials and tribulations and struggles that we have. I just read a post today about men struggling with pornography. Well, what's the answer to that? How does a man get out of pornography? Well, you're not going to do it on your own strength. I mean, the more you fight against that, the more entrapped you're going to become. So you have to step back and learn what God says about you, and to rest in that truth. So understanding your identity in Christ is the first step that you take to get out of that addiction. It's also very vital, very critical, very important to know who you are just when you relate to other people. Why? Because you're going to experience peer pressure in life. It doesn't matter how old you are, how established you are in life, peer pressure is going to attack you. That's just the way of this world. And peer pressure is going to try to conform you to a certain image. And if you want that bad enough, you're going to give yourself over to being conformed by that. Kids struggle. They want to fit into the in crowd. Well, the in crowd is drinking alcohol, or the in crowd is smoking marijuana, or the in crowd is doing this. So you say, well, if I'm going to fit into the in crowd, then I have to do all of those sort of things. The in crowd, as far as, you know, your 30s and 40s, it's success. It's the right car. It's the right house. It's the right school. It's the right clothes. We have to look that part. And maybe we don't have the money to buy all those things. So what do? We go in debt. Why? Just so that we can fit in. Well, what are we giving into? Peer pressure. Because we don't know who we are in Christ. We hadn't found our true contentment right there. So this is a vitally important issue. It's not just one of those neat little theological truths that we can throw out and say, yeah, I'm a child of God. This has spiritual implications on our day-to-day living. That's why it's so important. If you don't know who you are, ask the Lord to open up your eyes so that you can see truth. If you're not saved, let that truth hit your heart in such a way that you can respond to the good news that God wants to make you into something different.
Yeah.
If you are saved, man, let that identity of child of God really sink in. Why? Because God wants you to live as a child of God. That's the life that he's given you. So this is important stuff. This is central to the basic gospel.
If you have a question concerning your identity, whether in the Lord or maybe somewhere else, as Bob was saying, why, we want to hear from you. We'd like to clarify any issue you might have on your identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1-800-677-9377. If there's something else you'd like to talk about, of course, give us a call. Bible question, whatever the situation, 1-800-677-9377. That's the number to call right now. The lines are open. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Guys, an email question from Nancy concerning the relationship between sin and physical illness. She says, Jesus healed a man and then told him to stop sinning or something else might happen to him, something worse possibly. Does this mean that we're sick today because we sin? Like smoking can give you lung cancer, but can you develop an illness because of sinful choices? I know that Jesus may have been speaking under the law of Moses. After he died and the veil was torn, did the curse from illness stop? Did the curse of illness from sin stop?
Well, sin has always been the problem. That's been the root issue. Sin brought death into this world. So, you know, God created Adam and Eve to live forever. They were never to die. But when Satan brought the deception into the garden, he presented the lie. They bought into that lie and then took a bite out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All things changed. So decay entered into the world system at that point in time. And so Adam and Eve lived for a long period of time, Adam to 930 years of age. That's a long life, but it was supposed to be a forever life. So sin was the cause of that. And sin has introduced all sorts of decay into this world. So that's the world that we live in. There's going to be a point in time when Jesus brings about a new heaven and a new earth, and all of that is going to go away. But that's somewhere in the future. So in the meantime, all of us are going to die. These physical bodies are going to die. That's just part of the curse that's still there. That's why God has promised us a new body. So this old body is going to die. The new body is going to come to life at the resurrection. And so that's our hope. And in the meantime, since these bodies are going to die, they're subject to all the diseases that are out there.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. We try to say this person sinned, they did X, and as a result of X, they got Y. But that's not how we should do it. Why? Because we can't make that judgment. We can't link those dots, connect those dots that way and be very dogmatic. You know, some parents believe who have children who are ill that their children are sick because of some sin they've committed. And so they feel guilty. They feel shameful over that. But you can't make that connection. Sin is just in this world. Sickness is in this world. It's going to hit us, all of us, at some point, isn't it?
It is.
So we just have to recognize that and realize that God loves us in the midst of it, and that we have great hope through our new birth in Jesus.
Absolutely. Nancy, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, drop us an email with your question. We'll be glad to address it on a later edition of Basic Gospel. Right now, again, open lines. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Billy down in Corpus Christi, Texas, listening to us on KCTA. Hi, Billy.
How you doing?
Doing okay. How about you?
I'm doing well. Just driving along.
Well, that's a good thing.
Got a good clear connection there.
Glad you're tuned in and listening. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. I listen here and there, so and today I had a question. Just had to ask.
Okay.
And my question is, like Christians and tattoos, can it be supported biblically, or is it like a vague issue now in the new covenant?
Well, there's only one place, I think, in the Word of God that really speaks about tattoos, and it's a prohibition. It's in Leviticus, Leviticus 19:28, do not cut your bodies for the dead or put tattoo marks on yourselves. And he says, I am the Lord. So that's the passage that anybody would go to find out what God thinks about tattoos. And I think it's pretty clear there. Now, God is not going to zap you if you get a tattoo. But I would step back and say, why are you doing that? You know, what's the drive? What's the motivation? What is compelling you to even think about putting a tattoo on your body? Is it a spirit-led motivation? Is it the Spirit of God leading you to do that? And I would think you know, the answer to that is a resounding no. So there has to be some other reason that would motivate a person to get a tattoo. And I think that's important for us to kind of lift the hood and look underneath and find out what that reason is. And if we can find out what that reason is, then maybe we can figure out that Christ does have an answer to that need we're trying to get met.
Right. And the one argument that a person that I know has made is, well, that's the Old Testament, and that really doesn't apply anymore. And so, you know, I don't agree with it, but, you know, I guess that's what some believe, that it's Old Testament, and we're in the New Testament, we're in the New Covenant, so it doesn't apply. So that's why I wanted to just, you know, get your thoughts on it. And I like what you said about, you know, whether one has an argument this way or that way, you know, it is what God thinks, or I guess he wouldn't have put it in the Bible as such.
Yeah. Well, and the thing, too, like I said, in this new covenant, God has written his laws upon our hearts and in our minds. Now, he hasn't written the Ten Commandments there. He's written something different, faith, hope, and love. Those things are there. And I think as you look within and look at what God is doing inside, you're not going to be able to look and say, oh, he is moving me to get a tattoo. I don't think you can ever say that.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. Now, some may argue, you know, just the opposite. But I think their argument is going to be a little thin.
All righty. Well, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome, Billy. Richard, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, the context of the Leviticus passage is all around paganism, because if you look in the history of tattoos in the world, they typically had pagan origins or satanic origins, many of them. So that's what you're watching out for. And, you know, I know people who have tattoos and they're perfectly nice people. I know other people who have had tattoos and wonder why in the world they have them, you know. Love always and always, Nancy, and now you're married to Martha. Now what are you going to do? You know, and so there's just some real practical benefits to thinking through the issue. What is it you're doing? Why are you doing it? Is the Spirit of God leading you to do it?
And I think it gets back to our topic for the day and the topic for the month, and that's identity.
Yeah.
And I think there's an identity issue that you're trying to meet, an identity need that you're trying to meet in moving forward with a tattoo. You're trying to say something about yourself. You're trying to get the world to think something about you. And I think we just need to be content with who we are in Christ. So that's our 2 cents on tattoos.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Hey,
really helped me out. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Billy. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time on the clock. Lots of open lines. Want you to be a part of the broadcast. Give us a call, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New Rochelle, New York, and talk with Tom listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You are so welcome. Thanks for calling.
I really, really enjoy your program.
Well, thank you. Thanks for tuning in. We sure appreciate that.
I'm calling because I have a burden on my heart, and I need to share it with someone.
Okay.
I'm a Sunday school teacher, and I've been teaching Sunday school for many years, ever since my son was I guess around 5 years old, I've always volunteered to teach because I believe our children really need to be grounded in the Word of God from a very early age. Anyway, one of my friends at the church said to me, oh, I came across these wonderful DVDs. Would you like to take a look at them? You might be able to use this information with the kids. I teach middle school. So he gave me some DVDs by a fellow named Dr. Job Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N.
Okay.
Who has a ministry called Discipleship Ministries. Are you familiar with him?
I am not familiar with him, Tom. Not familiar with him at all.
Well, he does all these DVDs on, you know, he has all these different animals. And he shows how the uniqueness of all these different creatures and how because of the different characteristics of these different creatures, you know, evolution is really impossible and that they had to be a unique creation of God. And along with the DVDs, he has this book called The Evolution of a Creationist. Because at one time he was a dentist aboard Air Force One. He was the personal dentist, I believe, for President Johnson. And then after his career as a dentist, he went into, he was a professor of dentistry at Baylor University. And one of his students challenged him because his first sermon, his first lecture was on the evolution of the tooth. And these were Christian students who challenged him saying, you know, that you have to have as much faith to believe in evolution as just about anything else. And he took up their challenge, and after delving into, you know, evolution and reading the scriptures, he went from Buddhism and he became a Christian. He accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And now he goes around, and now he's in his mid-70s, and he goes around lecturing around the world and around the country, teaching people about, you know, the God of the Bible. So I wanted to show these DVDs. I actually called up, and his wife said, oh, no, we don't want to charge you anything. We'll send you everything for free. You know, I thought I was going to get an operator, and I got the family personally. And when I asked her what Dr. Martin's fee was to come and speak with our congregation, she says, oh, we don't charge a fee. If we're in your area, we'll just come, and I'll talk to the women, and we'll talk to the congregation, and we have another special feature for the kids. And I was just so impressed with their love and their generosity. But the elders in my church refused. They didn't want them to come. And I was just so taken aback. I didn't know what to make of it. And
well, did they give a reason, Tom, as to why?
In the book, The Evolution of a Creationist, Dr. Martin goes into Genesis 1 and 2, where God said he created the heavens and the earth and mankind and the animals in 6 days and six nights. And they felt that it was too controversial an issue. And I just didn't understand how.
So he's so this Dr. Martin is basically a young earth creationist, and they hold to an old earth type of thing, and that's...
Well, the church's teaching doesn't take a stand either way.
Yeah, okay.
But they're afraid that...
I think that's the point that we need to talk about here. I can't really address the situation or bring a solution to that situation, but we're scared to death as people to take a stand, and we're even more frightened to delve into things that we're not sure of, and we don't want to be controversial. We don't want to step on people's toes. We don't want to move people down a path and give them opportunities to think for themselves. And I think that's a shame. We as believers in Christ should never be afraid. We should never be afraid of what an atheist brings to the table or what somebody from another religion brings to the table. Why? Because we have truth. We know God, and we are known by God, and we can stand confidently. We may not be able to answer every question that comes our way, and we may not be able to discern everything that comes our way, but we know that all legitimate study, all quests for truth are going to ultimately lead people to God and ultimately lead people to Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what he said. So we don't have to fear. And maybe we're going to get confused by some of that, initially, because we don't have a solid answer. We don't have a way to combat it. But we still shouldn't fear it. And I think that's a big thing. And Christians that are out there who aren't willing to take a stand on what is truth, aren't willing to say this gospel message will hold up to any scrutiny. We just haven't come to grips with what this gospel message is. So,
a lot of the kids in my class ask me questions.
Sure.
They say, I'm in my biology class, and they're teaching me that we came from lower life forms. And they said to me, well, does God say anything about that? Or do I have to believe what they teach me? And I said, well, instead of me giving you my opinion, let's see what God says. In the beginning was, God created right. The heavens and the earth. And we go to the sixth day where he took dust from the ground and he formed man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. I believe that. And I told her, this is the information that God's given us, that he created us in his image, in his likeness. And he created the animals after their own kind. I want my students and I want my son to be able to defend their faith and not to be intimidated by outside information. And Dr. Martin has come out and he said, I believe Genesis 1 and 2, what it says. If there's a Christian who doesn't believe it, I will still love him as my brother in Christ, but I stand for this literal interpretation. I don't want to cause division. I just want to preach what I feel is true, and I want the kids to be able to understand it. I just don't understand. Maybe I'm naive. I don't understand the device, why it would be divisive. I don't believe in eisegesis. I don't believe interpreting the scriptures through outside information.
Well, Tom, it's just over the past 50 years or so, it has become one of those explosive issues. Mm-hmm. Whenever you get into some type of conversation about creation versus evolution, you've got fireworks. There are people that are going to dig in on both sides, and it can become a real headbutting contest. That's just the nature of that debate right now. And even within Christian circles, there can be a lot of explosive fireworks between those who believe in a young earth, that say the earth may be 10,000 years old and no older, versus those who believe it's millions and millions of years of age. That can be an explosive conversation. And we don't know real answers on that, or how to enter into a discussion and really talk about the issues without getting mad at each other. And I think that's probably what the church leaders are responding to. They don't want to have an explosion within their church.
Yeah, they don't want the news crews
right,
showing up.
Right. But the thing that we want to get to kids and to everybody is the fact that Jesus Christ died to take away their sins, that Jesus Christ was buried, that Jesus Christ was raised back to life so that we could have everlasting life. That meets the deepest needs of our hearts. And if we can get somebody connected there, then they will have some freedom to explore these other things and find out answers that satisfy their hearts and souls. Well, Tom, I appreciate your passion to bring truth to kids. That is so encouraging, and God bless you in your efforts.
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, we invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and click subscribe to join our email list. Sign up today and receive the links to the daily radio broadcast, the blog post by Bob Christopher, and other ministry updates. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. Also, there are many, many resources available to you from our online store. You'll find them at store.basicgospel.net. And don't forget, when God is for you, who can be against you? Four-message series by Bob Christopher, yours for a gift of any amount to the ministry. Just go to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828.